Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it is Mariners manager Scott Service. Scott, I've missed talking to you, man. I mean, there's been all this news, mostly completely unrelated to baseball, and I've been like, I wish Scott was here so that we could talk to him about it, but I'm glad that you're here now. Happy to hear from you again.
Hey, how's it going, Stace? Jake, how are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing pretty good.
Well, it's an easy place to start. So I am curious, obviously, the news of Kelnick being sent back down. He'll reportedly be starting for the Rainiers tonight. What's next for him? I mean, what do you kind of hope to see from him next in this next step for him?
Oh, we still love Jared as a player and a person, obviously. But, you know, he went through some struggles like a lot of young players do when they first get to the big league. So really thought it was best for him and best for where our club's at right now to kind of let him allow him to unplug a little bit at the big league level, get back to doing the great things he can do on the field in Tacoma, get the confidence going again. And I'm sure he'll be back with us at some point here this season. But he's a really talented guy. Love having around the team. But, you know, it was a struggle for him here recently, and we thought it was the best thing for him to get his confidence back to send him back to Tacoma.
Scott, what's something that you learned about his process, about him behind the scenes? I know you had him in spring training, but it's a little bit different in season. I'm sure you got to see him a little bit more. What's something you learned about him?
Well, I think we all know Jared is very intense. You know, he loves baseball. He really is. He's a baseball rat. He's a junkie. He loves being around it and talking the game and learning from coaches and players and everybody alike. I think as you know, when he first got to the big leagues with us, I thought his process was really good. His at-bats were really good. You know, he was getting some hits, probably not as many as he should have. You know, he didn't have a whole lot of luck there early on. But, you know, like a lot of young players, you start chasing hits, you start chasing a result, and, you know, you get away from your process a little bit. So, again, the swing is there. He's a really good outfielder. He runs the bases well. He does a lot of things right. He just needs to get in the right frame of mind, and some of that is just tied to having a little bit of success right now.
Skip, you get Marco Gonzalez back on the mound second time since his injury. What is the goal for Marco tonight?
I'd love to see it get his pitch count up to about 65 or 70 pitches tonight. I thought he threw the ball just excellent his last time out. He was sharp, the command of his fastball, his secondary pitches were there. The curveball was really good as he got a little bit deeper into the game, so I would love to see him get through five innings tonight. Like I said, we'll keep him pretty close to the 65-70 pitch limit as he continues to build volume. You know, he was out for about a month, but it's great having him back. It really is. You know, he's one of the best competitors that we have when he gets on the mound, and looking forward to him to have a good outing for us tonight.
Does it look like Yusei Kikuchi's going to make that next start?
It is. Yeah, it does look like he is going to make the next start. You know, we had an off day yesterday. I know he got some treatment on Sunday to get some of that swelling out of the knee, but he actually got out and played a little catch, make sure to keep his arm moving there on Sunday. Again, the off day, I did see him walking to Starbucks this morning without a limp, so that's a good sign. he's in here today, and he'll get his regular throwing program in. But right now, I'm very hopeful he'll make his next start.
Skip, you saw him walking to Starbucks. Does that mean that you were walking with him, or are you going
to
Starbucks yourself?
Yeah, were you walking at an awkward distance behind him? Like, what were you doing?
I already had my cup of coffee. I was headed back to the hotel with my mask on. So we actually stay in Birmingham, just outside Detroit. It's a nice area, but we got some thunderstorms in the area tonight. BPA may be canceled. You know, it's that humid Midwest. You know, these pockets of rain, they pop up all over the place.
Hey, Scott, I had a lot of fun watching Logan Gilbert a couple of nights ago, and had a lot of fun watching how you handled him. Particularly, it seemed like there were just some at-bats and some pitch sequences that you just seemed to be on the edge of your seat with everybody else. And when he got through it, saw a little fist pump at one point. How fun is it for you to have him there and to help him through this process as he takes steps as being a major leaguer?
Yeah, I've often said, Shannon, I love young players. I really do, and I love being around them as they start to, you know, get over the hump or conquer certain things. And, you know, Logan in the ball game the other day, I really thought he was just growing and getting better as the outing went along. And also know you got to be very cautious on how hard you're running them. And certainly we think the world of Logan, and we need to keep him healthy. And, you know, I wanted him so badly to get through that fifth inning, but the pitches were getting up there, and I was just I was on the edge of my seat. I wanted him to get that last out so bad, and he was able to get through it. But he is learning a ton, and to see his growth really excites me, and not just for him, but any of our young guys, as they start, you know, feeling like they belong and that it can be real contributors to a winning team. Those are exciting times for players and for coaches alike. So it was a fun day on Sunday. Our offense was able to add on some runs there late in the ball game that gave us a little cushion, but it was a big outing for Logan.
Skip, you guys are on your 48th player. 48th, right? I mean, just absolutely crazy. What is that process like for you as you're managing new faces, having to consistently overcome adversity? I mean, it's impressive, Skip, that you guys have been able to play the level of ball that you have despite all this adversity.
I really appreciate you saying that. I think sometimes it gets overlooked. You know, and I know you're in the big leagues. The expectation is to win every night, and it is absolutely the goal. Every time I get on the bus to go to the ballpark, it's like put a plan together. What's going to give us the best chance to win the game? But, you know, dealing with all of the injuries, the COVID situation that we've dealt with so far, all the players that have come in and contributed in a positive way, and it's been fun. It's been a challenge. We have, you know, Shed Long's on the roster today. Dylan Thomas makes his major league debut here either tonight or tomorrow. You know, when a player comes into the club, even though, you know, I have a relationship with Shed, he's played with us in the past, you still sit down with him one-on-one in my office, kind of get a feel for where they're at physically, how much they've been playing, different things. Again, I always want to make sure it lines up with the report I just got from the AAA manager. You know, players will tell you one thing and coaches will tell you another. So, just kind of make sure we're on the same page there and just try to get them to relax as quick as possible so they can let their true talents come out.
Scott, I've had a lot of fun watching Donovan Walton. And look at, you know, you've got a lot of guys that can kind of play that role that he is kind of working his way into. I know he was a Gold Glove shortstop in the minors, but now he's showing that he can do a little bit of everything. My question is when you're not seeing 42 to 60 players a year, and when you do get to a point where your rotation is a five-man rotation, do you see ever the ability to get back to a four-man bench?
Oh, I think it could happen. I really do. You know, you started the question off talking about Donnie Walton, and I would like to hit on Donnie. He's been fantastic. And the ability to kind of play, you know, all over the field. We've played him in left field a little bit, and he's done perfectly fine. He gives you good at-bats, and he has that one skill that doesn't really show up on a scouting chart or anything like that. It's just the baseball IQ, you know, the understanding what the game needs at that moment. You know, sometimes you just need a base runner. You got to figure out a way to get on base. It might be a walk, hit by pitch. Sometimes you need to move a runner over. Sometimes, you know, you need an extra base hit. You know, sometimes you just got to play great defense to help your club in that day. He's got the ability to check a lot of those boxes. And, you know, I say that, and you look up at the end of the day, his stats may not blow you away. He's probably never going to hit 20 homers in a season or things like that. But he's one of those glue players, I like to call them, that it just like they show up at the right times, and they're not always going to have success, but you know their intentions are always in the right spot to do whatever the team needs in that particular day. And he's also a really positive guy in the clubhouse. Guys love joking around with him. He loves firing it right back at him. So he adds a lot to our club, and excited he's playing the way he is playing right now. But you know, eventually, you know, we'll see. You know, you get back to a five-man rotation, you may have some more options on the bench, be able to give guys maybe a few more guys days off, things like that. Again, you know, it kind of depends how that 26-man roster is made up, you know. And I think what you're starting to see is we have a number of players that are versatile. They can play multiple positions, and it really makes my job easier when they can do that.
Hey, Skip, can I go back one question and just ask for you to tell us a bit more about Dylan Thomas, whether it's who he is as a person, the kind of player we're going to see?
Yeah, Dylan's had a heck of a story. You know, he was a high school draft out of Texas by the Rockies, I believe, and spent all kinds of time in the minor leagues, actually got released, spent a little time in independent league ball. I don't think he played really anywhere last year. Nobody did, really, obviously in the minor leagues. But and we brought him to spring training this year and really didn't know what to expect. I thought he had a pretty good camp. The last two or three weeks, I thought he swung the bat much, much better. A good guy. He just fits in. He's got a smile on his face. I think, you know, when you get to the big leagues, he's like 28 years old. This will be his first major league appearance. You have a true appreciation, and you're very grateful for everything and everybody that's helped you along the way. And sitting down with him in my office today, you certainly could see that. And oftentimes the biggest thing is like, how do I get to the stadium? Where's the clubhouse? You know, make sure my family gets in town. He's got a 4-year-old little daughter. I mean, things like that are all circling around these guys' minds. And just to try to tell him to take a deep breath, you made it to the stadium, you're in my office, your uniform's right down the hall, everything's going to be good. And he just laughed, and I said, be ready to go tonight, man. You might be in the game, you never know when. So I'm excited for players like that, just like I am the young guy to get called up at 21, 22, because guys like Dylan, they've really grinded through it, and they do have a great appreciation for what it takes to get here.
It's awesome. Those are stories. I'm sure it's great to be able to have those experiences with those guys and walk them through it and help them through it. Skip, how about Kendall Graveman? We haven't seen him in quite some time. I'm sure he's a face that you're excited to welcome back. When do we expect to see him out on the mound again?
Yeah, you know, Graveman's going to do at least one rehab outing in Tacoma. So he'll pitch an inning for them. I'm not sure if it's scheduled for tonight or tomorrow. I'm hopeful. You know, maybe towards the end of this road trip, he meets us on the road, possibly when we get off this road trip. You know, we have three here in Detroit, and then we'll go to Cleveland for three, and then we'll be back home. So sometime here, I would think in the next 6 or 7 days, you know, he could be active on our roster. We'd love to have him back. Obviously, he was throwing the ball just outstanding and a big part of our bullpen, certainly at the back end of our bullpen. And, you know, I will give a ton of credit to the guys who have stepped up in his absence. You know, the Paul Sewells, JT Chargois, a number of guys have really stepped up, which has allowed us to stay competitive and win these games that we have won by holding other clubs down and up in late in the game. So we miss Gravy. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But we do wanted to get one outing under his belt there in Tacoma.
Skip, a couple times ago we had you on with us talking about J.P. Crawford. And one of the things that stuck out with me was, hey, at the time he was just entering this hitting streak, this hot streak at the plate, and you had said that over the course of his career, thus far his young career, he's been an up-and-down guy at the plate, and we'll see how it progresses, we'll see how it goes. He's been able to maintain this for a little bit now. What has it been like watching JP really mature before your eyes?
It's been great. He's really matured, like you said, and you know how he goes about his at-bats, and we're starting to see the effects of the off-season work he did. And we talked about, you know, he's stronger this year than he's ever been, but it really wasn't showing up, you know, how the ball was jumping off his bat in the game. We'd see it in batting practice, but here recently, you know, driving the ball, hitting, you know, the doubles, the opposite field gap, pulling the ball with authority, ton of confidence right now. And I know he's really excited that, you know, a number of his family and friends were able to see him play over in Los Angeles or in Anaheim there. I know he made the comment, I think it was his 87-year-old grandfather, the first time he ever got to see him play in person in the big league. So a lot going on with these players kind of behind the scenes. And JP has been huge in our clubhouse. And he's the quarterback of our team. He really is. You talk about our defense and the guy in the middle of the field that is always in tune where everybody's supposed to be lined up. Shed Long was in here today. And I said, hey, man, whatever JP tells you, just listen to him. He knows what's going on. So we've got a ton of confidence in JP, and he's earned it. He's playing great. He's swinging the bat just awesome, and hopefully it continues for a long time.
I don't know if it's obvious. I mean, it's on the TV broadcast when I'm watching it, obviously, so I'm sure it's obvious to you guys. But his energy level when other guys do things, too, is off the charts. It's so fun to see. So, yeah, it's been a blast to watch him. I know I'm speaking for all of us. Also, Skip, I'm speaking for all of us when I say it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, and happy belated birthday, too.
Thanks. Those birthdays, yeah, you can't run away from them.
Not this time.
Now, Stacey, I'm thinking all three of us have a birthday that's like within a week.
Okay, so
together.
I was trying to be.
So you've
got
to plan something here, maybe a birthday batting practice or something like that.
Skip, if you're open to it, I'm just saying maybe me, you, and Shannon, a trio of very chill Geminis, hang out, go get some BP, think about it.
I heard they may be opening up to the media coming down on the field. Shannon, have you heard more about that?
Yes, I've heard that.
I know Howdy's ready, so you say the word, Scott. Oh. We'll come by.
I can hold my breath on Howdy, that's for sure.
We'll pass that on.
I'll let him know. Thanks, Skip.
Yeah, please. Please let him know. But, yeah, no, look forward to seeing you guys. And like I said, hopefully if they release or loosen up some of the protocols on the media getting down the field closer, I look forward to it.
Man, I hope so. All right, well, have a good one. Have fun this series.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Skip.
All right. He is Scott Service, joins us every single Tuesday. Also joining us every Tuesday, Shannon Dreher, Mariners insider for 710sports.com.
Chill Gemini.
Very chill Gemini. I was like, okay, Stacey, be professional. Be chill. Don't bother Scott. Don't be too much at once. Just don't be a lot. And then it's hard to hold it in.
I'm glad really you went there. I was trying to figure out, how do I hand signal we all have the same birthday?
Shannon, as always, sticks around with us to help us kind of make sense of everything that's happening. We already heard about Kyle Lewis earlier today. I do want to get to that. I'm going to start with Dylan Thomas. It was really encouraging to hear not just about, like, hey, there's another guy that's going to be debuting, and just one of those, you know, random stories you see throughout the course of the season that's kind of fun, can sometimes be really cool to watch. So, about Dylan, I do want to hear if you have anything to add on him. And then what's it going to mean, too, I hate to pair this together, to see Shed Long back in the lineup? It's a lot.
It's been a busy 2 days.
Let me 10 minutes.
Let's get started.
Okay.
The Dylan Thomas story is a fantastic one. 10 years in the minor leagues. I'm not sure what he was doing last year. He's got a year in independent ball as well. And he was hitting for Tacoma from the get-go. So good for him. But we talked to him about an hour ago, and you hear about, you know, the call-up stories. And he got the call from Andy McKay, and his girlfriend and the four-year-old daughter were there, and the little girl's yelling, "Daddy's a big leaguer, Daddy's." God. And then when I asked, well, you know, who was the first phone call, he just started to tear up, and it was mom and dad. And
those stories always get me.
It did. So, you know, you're just absolutely thrilled for him to get that opportunity. And it really, you know, as much as you want to see the Kyle Lewis's, the Jared Kelnick's, the Evan White's, the Dylan Moore's, and it's unfortunate they've had the injuries they have, I can't say enough about the guys that they have brought up and brought in. They've been incredible stories, all of them. They've all contributed in some way. The bullpen in specific, I mean, they've really stepped up in the absence of the leverage arms. But great to see Dylan Thomas. And I think that just really kind of reinforces what we're seeing. Scott Service has been committed to getting guys days off and half days. We're seeing Mitch Haniger off his feet much more than I thought we would. And it's not necessarily a day off. It might be a DH day. Mm-hmm. And so Dylan Thomas helps with that, with a true outfielder. I don't know how much of Shed Long initially they were looking at playing him in left field some. I'm not sure with the shin injury and how, you know, troublesome some it was coming back, that you're going to see him running around the outfield very much to start with. So that might have had something to do with it right there. But it's great to see actual outfielders in the outfield.
Shannon, one of the things that I think you can really put into great perspective for people out there is the difference between Jared Kelnick and Kyle Lewis. The reactions or the disappointments that should be there in terms of Kelnick getting caught up or getting called up and then getting sent back down versus Kyle Lewis and seeing him about to take off, seeing his approach change and getting better, really catching his stride, and then having this devastating injury. Where do we put that in perspective in terms of panic level or in terms of their rebuild, how the impact of those moves?
Jared Kelnick, I believe, is going to be okay. And everybody is trying to stress, there is nothing out of the ordinary of a youngster coming up and falling on his face. That's what happened. You know, you can paint it as much as you want. He had the good plate appearances. He hit the ball hard. That's great. But he saw things he'd never seen before, and he was not able to make the adjustment. I don't think that happens with him again because, A, he is a great baseball player. He understands hitting. He believes in himself. I'm not worried about the confidence. He's got a great process. He's going to put it together. But, you know, you might remember, who was it, Justin Dunn, when he made his big league debut a few years ago and just fell apart on the mound. And it's one of those things, and I think we've all been there in different, you know, I've got this. So you get up there, and then you're just like, you don't know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, what just happened? That's not even me. You know, I did that. I played trumpet all through college, and I had a jury once, and I'm like, I've got this. I've rehearsed it. I passed out in the hallway.
It's not funny.
And my accompanist luckily grabbed the horn and didn't save me, which was probably a good move.
I mean, but I think,
you know,
next
you don't
man up.
Know.
Next
you
man
don't
up. Next woman up.
Know until you're there and you can prepare. Now he knows. I don't think he makes that mistake again. Kyle Lewis, you know, you cross your fingers. This is hard. You know, with already two knee surgeries on that knee and a third one, looking at a third one, you're talking career impact right now. And that's totally different. I don't think he's done by any means, regardless of what the outcome is. I don't know that he's going to be able to run around center field the way he was, and I'm not going to make that call. I'm not the doctor. I haven't seen the film. I don't know.
Right.
But that's a little bit scarier. Jared Kelnick's going, I'm going to do my best Rick Riz here. The kid's going to be okay.
Can I get back? I love Jake's question. It's something that Dave Sims said when he was on with us last time, which is like, look, I know that the Mariners aren't like raking and they're not, you know, the best team in baseball. It also wasn't the expectation, but what they've been able to do, hovering around 500, considering the injuries they've had, is pretty phenomenal. I don't know if you point to, you know, what Scott's been able to do, what just the leaders on the team have been able to do, a combination of them, whatever it is, there is something to that, for them to be very proud of.
Absolutely. And I do think they've also taken steps in the last 10 days in particular. Everything since that San Diego series, I think, is a step forward. I think that first month was, ooh, this is cool. This is happening. They're in first place. Ooh. And anybody who really follows the game wasn't buying it. That's not who they were. That's not who they're supposed to be this year. And then the disappointment when all of a sudden they started losing games. Surprise. You know, they've got no experience.
I'm sorry. You can have that OPS and not be first place in the AL West. That doesn't make sense.
You know, that's part of it. But now I think you're starting to see legitimate development.
Yes.
And as the year goes on, you hope that these guys take steps and those steps add up to a few more wins. But, and I've got a piece on 710sports.com right now, and Mike Blowers, who's been there, done that, and watched it for the last 30 years, there's going to be some things that are going to come up and it's going to get rocky for this team. The vast majority of these hitters have never played a full 162 game season. It's different. It's going to hit them like a ton of bricks. Ooh. Mentally, physically, it's different, especially coming off a year like last year. The other thing is, and I've seen this so many times, and you've got to be ready for it, when you get into August and September and you start running into contending teams, all of a sudden baseball is a different sport altogether. It's going to get rough for them. So I think it's great if they can continue to take the steps right now, rack up some wins. But we could legitimately see some struggles as guys hit walls, doing this for the first time, and as they experience teams that are really taking it to a different level.
One quick question before we let you go, Shannon. It comes back to Jared Kelnick in terms of, Jerry DePoto said we could see Jared Kelnick come back sooner than later. We anticipate that being the case. How soon? I mean, like, that's the thing that I wonder is, when we talked about this initially, before he got the call-up, you had outlined very specifically, very well, about the lack of at-bats, the lack of work that he had in the minor leagues before he got this call-up. What do you think would be appropriate for him after the All-Star break?
Yeah, but I'm allowing for it could be before. This is a little bit different. They laid out what he needed to do when they told him he wasn't making the team. And I think it's important that they brought him back up when they did, because that, it was an opportunity to rebuild trust after everything that happened in February.
Absolutely.
So if he checked every box, call him up. He did. Great. And they demonstrated, we brought you up. And it wasn't just to do that, but, I think that was very important. When we talked to Jerry DePoto this morning, he said there really isn't any specific criteria this time. It's going to be more of an eyes thing. Mm. So they're allowing themselves. I think he does need a little bit more of a stretch, obviously, than six games. I don't think a week.
Yeah.
You're going to need more. I think ideally you'd love to see him work his way out of something, not just have success, 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 success.
Right, yeah.
So I think, I would hope that it would be at the very least a few weeks. Mm.
She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer. She knows everything.
Chill Gemini.
Fellow Gemini, very chill Gemini. Her latest piece, What Mariners Rookie Jared Kelnick Can Get Out of Return to the Minors, is up on 710sports.com. Keep an eye on 710sports.com for more of her columns throughout the course of the season. Also follow her, if you're not already, at Shannon Dreyer for updates during games, for news things. She always helps me find a way to, like, how should I be interpreting this news. She's great with that. Very measured. Like I said, very chill Gemini. Shannon, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
All
Shannon.
Right. NFL headlines coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
I'm going to read this first NFL headline exactly the way DJ wrote it, because I think it is petty and salty, and it's DJ's birthday, and I'm just going to do this. This is the headline. Mason Rudolph said his goal is to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers in 2022, period. It's good he has confidence. DJ, shady McShaderson.
Well, DJ ain't wrong. I mean, when you look at Mason Rudolph, it's great that your goal is to be the starter, not this year, but next year. To me, when it comes to Mason Rudolph, he's got a lot to prove. I don't think that he has sold the organization that he's the guy for the job. And I don't know exactly how he's going to be able to get that done when Ben Roethlisberger is your starting quarterback in 2021. The best thing that you can hope for is another opportunity for redemption and to show life. If Ben Roethlisberger was to get hurt, which is likely at Roethlisberger's age and with the struggles that he had at the end of the season last year. So we'll see how that continues, but I can't imagine that Mason Rudolph is going to be the guy that the Pittsburgh Steelers sign off on and say, yep, we are confident with you being our guy of the future. But I'm with you, DJ. It's great to have that confidence.
You know, it's kind of a shame, too, because the Pittsburgh defense, I don't know what they're going to look like this year. Last year, they were so good. And it is, I would imagine, really frustrating if you have two sides of the ball that are just opposite. I mean, I don't think it was mean or cruel for anyone last year to say they were the weirdest. Were they 10-win or 11-win streak at that time?
11.
The weirdest undefeated team. Like, the weakest undefeated team. Well, it made no sense. But
I mean, Roethlisberger just completely...
He didn't look like himself.
No, he completely fell apart. He completely fell apart at
the
end of the
moments.
Year.
He had moments. But he is not what he used to be, and he's 39 years old.
He is, but, I mean, that's my point, is that you're starting to get into this Drew Brees, you know, realm where you could look great for the first half of the season, you can make it work, and then your body just gives out on you towards the end of the year, and that's really what it looked like to me. The other side of it as well is that the Steelers were incredibly unbalanced. You talk about their approach offensively, and part of it's due to Ben Roethlisberger, is they were basically a spread offense last year, winging the ball all over the yard. Ben Roethlisberger does not have the juice to be throwing the ball 40 to 50 times a game. If I'm Mike Tomlin, that is the one thing that I am heavily reevaluating heading into this year. I know you got weapons across the board that you're excited about, but you have got to run the ball more and complement that defense, that legitimate good defense. But hey, you can throw the ball all over the yard, try to do it at least against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm fine with that. I don't think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be winning shootouts at this stage with Ben Roethlisberger in his career.
Before I jump to the next story, let me remind you guys that What I Need to Know is coming your way in less than 10 minutes. So get those questions in, any question you want, any number of questions you want, 710-710. That is the Mac and Jack's text line, 710-710. Turning it over to you guys next, your questions come in your way and What I Need to Know. Okay, on to the next NFL story. So NFL.com had a list of bandwagons that people could jump onto. If you're looking for, like, you know, I'm a Seahawks fan, but I could use a random bandwagon to jump onto when the Hawks aren't playing or when I want another game to watch, what should I do? So they have a list of stuff you should consider. Jake, I'm going to read through them before you react, okay?
Okay.
So number one bandwagon to jump onto, of course, with the Julio Jones trade, it is the Tennessee Titans, so you can jump onto that bandwagon. They also have Joe Burrow. Just the concept of Joe Burrow in Cincinnati,
okay.
Jump onto that bandwagon at number two. Number three, Brandon Staley moving on from being DC for the Rams to HC, head coach for the Chargers. Then you got CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. I think the Cowboys in general going to pick up some more fans this year, throw them on that bandwagon. Then you got Chase Young, number five, obviously with Washington. The Arizona Cardinals and Miami Dolphins as a whole, just them as teams, are 6-7. And then the last two on here, Cam Akers, Rams for the running back for the Rams, think he's going to have a great year. And then Dan Campbell. People are saying, you know what? I know it's a lot of jokes. I know his press conferences and his shenanigans are ridiculous, but he might actually do something in Detroit this year.
If there's any bandwagon that I would like to jump on and be a part of, it is absolutely the Dan Campbell experience in Detroit.
What? Of all of those?
Could you imagine?
Nah, I'm going on Chase Young or maybe CeeDee Lamb.
Boo. CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, Dak Prescott's healthy again. Because I think Dallas is going to be better this year. Their defense, I think, can be better this year. They added to Dak. Yeah,
DJ, what is going on?
Good. CeeDee Lamb, I'm not judging CeeDee Lamb on what he did with Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I'm just saying, kind of random. Like, you're all on the bandwagon of a Dallas Cowboy receiver?
I'm not on the bandwagon. I'm saying if I had to choose, I'm going with a receiver that's getting his starting quarterback returning.
Okay. But think about this. Dan Campbell is doing what he's doing now, a completely unproven head coach.
With the
Could
Detroit
you imagine
Lions, with Jared Goff at quarterback.
Hold on. Just visualize for a second, Stacey.
I don't want to be
Dan
here.
Campbell being a successful winning head coach, getting the Detroit Lions to the playoffs. Could you imagine the sound bites and the shenanigans that we would see from somebody like Dan Campbell?
Over
it would be legendary.
A lot of that bloody knees.
That is why. And maybe he does actually get that lion. Maybe he's able to pull it off. He's able to convince people to make it happen there in Detroit. It would be incredibly entertaining.
I'm not doing it. I refuse. And I would never wish bad things on anyone, ever. In this case, I kind of want the Lions to do poorly so that I'm right in this just one instance of a radio debate. But I'm not getting on that one. What I maybe hope doesn't happen, although I could see happening, is Cam Akers taken off with LA. I think that running back group was solid. I think the weakness of their offense last year, it was an inconsistent offense, but it was because of inconsistent play at quarterback. Offensive line was solid. Receivers continued to be great. The running backs were young. No one was Gurley at his best, but they were a good group. Now that they've upgraded at quarterback, I do think that offense can be deadly. So I can see Akers making this list and making his case.
Yeah, I think that he's definitely got a chance. He really came on at the end of the season for sure. And I know that if you're Sean McVay and as you said before, not having Todd Gurley or having that productive running game gives you a lot of excitement and optimism.
All right, your questions answered. It's coming your way next. What I need to know, send your questions in. 710-710, what I need to know right around the corner.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's what I need to know. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jacks text line, 710-710. What I need to know is brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Let's go to the text line to your questions. Oh, gosh. Okay, what I need to know is how Stacey can jump on the Cowboy bandwagon, Jerry Jones bandwagon. I'm not jumping on the Cowboy bandwagon. It was, if I'm choosing what I think is more likely to happen, Dan Campbell have a great year coaching the Lions, or CeeDee Lamb have a great year at receiver for the Cowboys, I'm taking CeeDee Lamb.
I think that is definitely the smart pick here, but it's not the bandwagon that I would like to jump on. It is not the bandwagon that I would like to stake my claim to. Because then you're just a Dallas Cowboys fan. Who really wants that?
No one wants it.
It's more about going with the improbable. Joe Burrow was going to be my second. It would be great to see Joe Burrow bring Cincinnati back from being a lifeless organization to being one that's exciting and fun to watch.
From the 206... What I need to know, what's worse, picking the wrong checkout line at the grocery store, meaning probably getting in the line that isn't moving, or just missing out on a prime street parking spot? It's parking. Nothing makes me more upset than parking. Parking, I will get road rage.
I don't know, Stacey. Prime parking is definitely a bummer, but if you've ever been in a really, really long grocery store line and you watch the one next to you that you just happened to pick wrong and it is... The cashier is just rolling people on by, and you get stuck with the one that either has a really slow cashier, or you got somebody that has just busted out a bunch of coupons and is going through it as slow as humanly possible. I think that going through a grocery store line, or any line for that matter, picking the wrong line is absolutely maddening.
Walking into a building when you've parked far away, and then a car in front of the building drives away, I've seriously consider going back to get my car before. What I need to know, Jake, when is your American Ninja on TV? Poor Lefko's been watching every single night.
I know.
Spending hours watching American Ninja Warrior.
I'm convinced they don't want to tell me so that everybody else doesn't have to tune in. That they're making everybody, that they're making poor Lefko tune in every single week.
He's going to continue to do it. Lefko is making the sacrifice for all of us. Thank you, Lefko, to tune in so we can catch Jake. And then I've got to contact Brock for play-by-play.
You're not watching?
No, I am.
You're not curious enough to see if I'm on there?
I was. I had a phone call, so I couldn't watch.
That's messed up.
Sorry.
I can't tell you what Jackson said to me because it'll ruin. Give it away. But Jackson, just as we've watched American Ninja Warrior, it is my 4-year-old who's turning 5 on Friday, which makes me sad to no end. My boy is growing up, and it is fun experiencing new things with him, but I can't stand it going so fast. But Gosh, he is one funny kid. Just the brutal honesty of kids is amazing.
I liked what he named the butterfly in Brooke's story, but I can't remember it. It was something really funny, though.
Yeah, he's very literal right now. So when it comes to, like, naming something...
Oh, yeah.
It is incredibly literal. Like, we had... there were stray cats in Hawaii, and... There
was his
a
name
cat.
Pat?
No, there was a cat that had a bit off tail.
Yeah.
And so the name that he gave it was Bit Off.
Oh, okay.
He had a bit off tail, so it was Bit Off. Not very creative, but hey, very literal.
Love
so
it.
Yeah, you gotta roll with it.
Let's see. What I need to know, are root beer floats overrated, underrated, or rated accordingly? I think they are overrated.
I will not take the slander out of anything that you say. I will not take the root beer float slander at all on this show. Absolutely not. Root beer floats are, I think, rated accordingly because most decent human beings like root beer floats. DJ, please tell me you're one of them.
DJ,
no.
I want you to be on.
They're overrated.
They are. There's so many better. Okay, here's the thing.
Lefko?
No.
Lefko, you're in the back? Yes,
no,
got a thumbs up from Lefko. Thank you.
No.
Thank you for restoring order.
I'm sorry, is it 1950? In 1950, root beer floats were probably like the bomb because people were like, have you seen this?
Are you kidding me?
Putting ice cream? And now,
it's a classic.
In 2021, we've got 1,000,005 choices. I go to the grocery store and there's an entire two-way aisle of just ice cream and things and desserts.
What's wrong with that? It's amazing.
It's basic. We've gone to the next level. We've advanced as a society from root beer floats.
Oh, we've had advanced past root beer floats. I didn't realize it needed advanced passing.
While we're at it, there are other things that I think should be rated higher than the root beer float. For instance, Choco Tacos. Underrated. Should be rated more highly. Charleston Chews. Another old school candy that should be rated more highly. Okay, I don't really believe in that one with my soul.
You don't.
I guess
because
I'm just trying to be controversial.
That's why I had the reaction
fine.
I did.
I take that one back. I take it back.
You don't believe in that at all.
No, I don't.
I love Charleston
Chews. Root beer floats are overrated. I just think we have more choices now and we need to go back and re-examine
where are you?
The way that we're rating this. What I need to know.
You realize Curtis is coming back tomorrow. We lose DJ.
I said what I said, Curtis. That's that on that. And what?
All right.
Happy birthday, DJ.
Thank you.
Let's see.
I was wishing you a happy birthday until your root beer float.
What I need to know, what's the most shocking news in sports to you this year? Man, it's been, most shocking news? Why can't I think of anything? Why isn't my brain working? Well, what's the last story in news that shocked you? It wasn't the Julio trade. We knew that was happening. It's not the Aaron Rodgers news. We knew that was happening.
I mean, Osaka, I mean, that's big international news, but it's not, like, jarring. It's not overwhelming. It doesn't...
The last news that truly... This isn't funny, but the last sports news that truly floored me for a week, it was Kobe. That was last year, obviously. But that was the last news where I was like, stop everything you're doing. What's happening?
Yeah, that was devastating. Sure.
I can't think of maybe before that as far as news upsetting Andrew Luck.
Well, Andrew Luck, but how about Tiger Woods? I mean, that was huge news.
Yeah,
right?
That was shocking.
I mean, that was shocking. That was another scary moment. And a life altering, career altering potential moment for Tiger Woods.
I would just like to say that someone did say Charleston Chews are delicious and amazing.
Yep, so. Strawberry Charleston Chews are the bomb.
No, someone else said, what I need to know. Oh, they needed to know the status on Kyle Lewis because we didn't talk to service about it. So there was a press conference earlier today that Jerry DePoto had with reporters, and he said they're seeking a second opinion on that partially torn meniscus to see whether or not. I'm assuming the second opinion is to see whether or not surgery is recommended.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. You know, that injury is, look, meniscus are easy to come back from, but it's in context with what Kyle Lewis has dealt with, you know, multiple knee injuries, particularly
he's
in
torn
that
it
knee.
Before.
Absolutely. It's just really tough. It sets this guy back. It makes you, as Shannon Dreyer said with us early on, it puts into question his future and can he be the same player? Doesn't mean he can't. We'll be rooting for him all the way, but man, incredible promise. It was exciting to watch him take those next steps this season. And it's a tough blow.
It is. It's awful news. All right. Again, we don't have a final update on that yet. I'm sure we'll get more news in the coming days. So he is Jay Keefs. I'm Stacey Ross. A very happy birthday to DJ Wilder.
Happy birthday, DJ.
On the board with us today. We will miss you tomorrow. We will. No, Curtis is going to be back, and I'm going to be like, where's DJ?
Yeah. What? Curtis is what? Taking like a 6-week hiatus?
He forgot us. Okay. Well, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Do not go anywhere, though. You've got an hour of Wyman and Bob coming up next, and then Mariners pregame right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.